This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast for Friday morning on July the 19th, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller coming up on the news, including another report from Washington, D.C., this time on the effort to get to year-round E15, and what is the real power of the Indiana ag bioscience economy. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says beautiful weather continues today to close out the week, and yesterday corn and wheat markets lower, beans up just a little. We have Carl Setzer market analysis on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Corn growers seeking year-round E15 and plans to further grow Indiana's ag bioscience economy. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, obviously, getting the Farm Bill finished is priority number one for farmers who are in Washington, D.C. this week. But corn growers also took the time to discuss other policy priorities. Eric Pfeiffer has this report from our nation's capital.
U.S. corn growers will grow somewhere around 15 billion bushels of corn in 2024, and just under 6 billion bushels of that will go toward ethanol production.
So we already have, through the renewable fuel standard, an E10 level, 10% ethanol blended in every gallon of gasoline. We'd like to see that move to E15 or 15% level.
That's Clinton County farmer Alan Dunn.
That's being held up with some regulations that are different across the country that make it inconsistent on where you can find it and when you can find it. So we're trying to fix that legislatively by introducing a nationwide E15 standard.
It's also being held up in the Senate. The Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act of 2023 is a bipartisan act that's held up in committee in the Senate. Dunn says allowing year-round E15 will save consumers at the pump an average of 15 cents per gallon, and it provides the environmental benefits everyone's looking for.
We have the ability to produce a safe and reliable fuel supply that does not require mining of rare earth minerals from some other part of the world or worries about how you're going to dispose of an old battery or any of those kind of problems that we have. We just have a 100% renewable product made from the energy of the sun that is produced here in the United States, and it just seems like a no-brainer.
The frustrating part of this for corn growers is that this should be one of the rare areas where both Republicans and Democrats can agree. Dunn and others shared this with staffers from both parties on Capitol Hill Wednesday.
The economic impacts and the environmental impacts both come together right where we all want to be. And so why are we not moving forward? What is the difficulty? So we tried to point out some of those common sense areas of similar thinking, and hopefully we made a difference.
E15, or unleaded 88 as you might see it at the pump, is approved for use in all light-duty vehicles built 2001 or later. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
$69.6 billion. That's how much Indiana's ag bioscience sector contributes to the state's economy. And that's according to a new study from RTI International, the details of which were announced earlier this week during the AgriNovus Indiana Quadrant event in Indianapolis.
The insights from this study show the power of Indiana's ag bioscience economy.
And that's Mitch Frazier, president and CEO of AgriNovus Indiana.
But the story gets even better. As we look at that $69 billion, there are 147,000 Hoosiers that wake up every day, their feet hit the floor, and they are driving growth in the ag bioscience economy, ultimately making it possible so people can eat. And we think about what that really means in the context of this broader economy. Indiana's ag bioscience economy contributes more than almost $23 billion to the state's GDP. That's roughly the same contribution as the auto manufacturing industry.
During the event, he gave a goal for Indiana's ag community to grow the ag bioscience economy even further.
The big ambition for Indiana's ag bioscience economy is to drive $8 billion of growth by 2030. And that really is a function of looking back at how this economy has performed and then realizing that this is going to take all of us. This isn't an AgriNovus target. This is all of us working together across food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, production agriculture, setting our eyes on the horizon and driving growth. $8 billion is a target. I am confident we can get there.
Frazier laid out several opportunities for Indiana's ag leaders to help reach that goal.
The biggest opportunity for everyone to realize that the reason why Indiana has an ag bioscience economy, the reason why we can drive growth in plant science and crop protection and animal health and in food and in ag tech is because of production agriculture. Farmers are at the cornerstone of this economy, and working with them and through farmer-led innovation, through bioinnovation, through food as health, this will be the next chapter. And together, farmers working alongside innovators, working alongside big companies and small companies, together we can drive this economy and we can hit that $8 billion target.
You can hear my full conversation with Mitch Frazier from AgriNovus Indiana at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper, because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eiley Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eiley steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Another beautiful day here to finish out the week. Sunshine, blue sky, low humidity, pleasant temperatures. You just can't ask for much better than this as we move into the latter part of July. This is the time of year that you have to sweat your ever-loving mind off as we go to the fair. Well, we're going to have a good start to any fairs that are starting here this weekend. Even when temperatures climb a little bit tomorrow and Sunday, it's not going to be that bad. Humidity values stay low. Next week, probably a little bit of change in that as we see some instability coming in. But short term, I just don't have many complaints this time around. Moving into the early part of next week, let's talk temperatures first. I think we sneak back up into the 80s easily across a large part of the area, and we'll continue to see temperatures above normal through the entire week. We get through Monday without any significant precipitation, at least in my opinion. Monday nights, yeah, that's when we can see some of that instability come in the form of scattered showers and thunderstorms. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, I think we have good moisture coming through. It's probably best to look at this in a combined kind of fashion for all 3 days together, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think we end up with nearly 90% coverage across the Hoosier State, with rains anywhere from a quarter to 1.5, maybe 2 inches in spots, depending on strong thunderstorms. I'll also say the skew for next week is a little bit more to the heavier side on rains in the northern half to third of the state than central and south. That shouldn't be too surprising. That's where it's been the wettest so far. As a matter of fact, north central and northwestern parts of Indiana, I saw a stat the other day, the second wettest period through June, let's say April through early June, or maybe it was June through mid-July, some time frame in there, the second wettest of all time. So there's been plenty of moisture here over the course at least of the past few weeks, and I think that moisture begets more moisture. We try and dry down then for next Friday, not necessarily with how the air feels. Humidity staying up for Friday, but I think we'll see a lack of precipitation there. And then over the weekend, Saturday the 27th, Sunday the 28th, I'm seeing cooler air come in out of Canada and the Great Lakes again, but also drier air, less humid air. That should be very helpful as we finish out that 10-day forecast window. That's the way things are stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy this pleasant weekend. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn and wheat futures sell off, back and forth in beans before finally settling just to the high side. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review, and I'll have the settlements momentarily. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grab that at the end of trade from Carl Setzer at Consus Ag Consulting. Carl, a sell-off in the corn and wheat markets, so the grains go lower after some Wednesday gains. That was short-lived.
Yeah, we just struggled in corn and wheat today, and really a couple things hit that market. First of all, the International Grains Council was out today, bumped up world corn production 2 million metric tons, putting at 1.225 billion metric tons. That's mainly from a larger acreage in the crop in the United States. The thing is that now puts us in where we will see a slight build in corn stocks, if it's correct. Wheat, the same thing. International Grains Council bumping up world wheat production 8 million metric tons. And global trade on M2 grains has slowed here considerably. Weekly export sales really kind of poor on corn. Interesting to see China taking more sorghum than corn. And of course, there's no import restrictions on sorghum, and you don't have to go through the paperwork at a Chinese port. So corn's starting to taper off, elevated selling out of Brazil. And of course, you got U.S. weather that, despite floods and some bad storms, very favorable for pollination across the United States. Very little stress. They're taking a little bit less need of risk premium out of the complex. Soybeans separating themselves from the grains. Not a lot of support for soybeans outright, but we did see a rally in the energy complex. And we did see soy oil firm up today, and that gave the complex some much-needed support. We did finally see some new crop sales, a rather large one, 510,000 metric tons of new crop soybeans sold to an unknown, as well as 150,000 tons of meal and cake. But the fact that we're still 3 million metric tons behind last year's sales pace on soybeans at this time really kind of tempered those advances in that complex today.
And when you talk about corn and soybeans and the export sales report combining old and new crop, a good report, a neutral report?
We had a good report for the week on soybeans. Soybean sales really good. Corn, our old crop sales, not that fantastic, down 19% from last week. But boy, our new crop sales perking up and actually outpacing our old crop sales. So good numbers there, and a good number for wheat. Trade was pretty much expecting them, though, and really didn't give us much benefit to the futures.
When we look at the demand picture and the promise of the 24 crops, these prices probably aren't really going anywhere in the future in a real strong positive way, are they?
I really don't think so, Andy. We're looking at them, and the thing is we're competitive in the global market at today's values. But if we rally, obviously we're going to see our demand back off. The other thing we have to watch, that U.S. dollar traded the four-month lows early today, and that's starting to firm up, and that dollar having more and more of an impact on our sales than the actual commodity values themselves.
Carl Setzer at Consus Ag Consulting. Get Carl at 989-506-1587. Now, the Thursday settlements, September corn, down 6 3/4. Same for the Dease contract. September settles at 391 1/4. Dease down to 405. August beans up a penny and a quarter, 1098 1/2. September up 2.5 cents. Novi 1043, a gain of 2 cents. September wheat down 4, 535 1/4. Dease wheat 560, losing 3.5 cents. Meat markets were mixed, but mostly lower. Live cattle futures, sharp losses. August 182.25, $2.02 down. And August lean hogs, 91.37, down 27. The October contract up 35 cents. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.